God's word for you, Song of Solomon 8, verses 2 to 4, beginning with verse 2, and the bride is speaking. I would lead you, I would bring you to my mother's house, where she taught me. I would give you spiced wine to drink, the juice of my pomegranates. This verse from the mouth of the bride is strange to consider from the standpoint of earthly marriage, since the significance of what she says is lost to our culture. The Holy Spirit did not give us any other examples of this return to the mother's house in the other poetry of the Bible or in the prophets because, well, we don't need to know. For the spiritual application, we must look at the words, she taught me. Now, this feminine verb has my mother for its subject, and the church learns from itself. Generation to generation, congregation to congregation, we are informed about our faith and about many things, especially warnings about false doctrines, down the years. So Christ also was taken into the synagogue and the temple as a boy and was found by Mary and Joseph, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. That's Luke 2:46. The Lord grew during his boyhood. He grew in wisdom as well as in stature. He learned the scriptures just as we do as children. This was part of the way he had emptied himself, humbling himself as a student who practiced and memorized his, well, catechism, before he even humbled himself to be obedient to death, which is Philippians 2:8. We would suppose then, without pressing the comparison too strongly, that the spiced wine and the juice of pomegranates is a reference to other human things. His learning and education, perhaps, as well as the joys of friendship, the trade he learned under Joseph as a carpenter, sailing with his apostles, and the human manipulation of wind, tide, wave, and canvas to subdue the earth and make it serve man, as the Father commanded in Genesis 1:28. This seems to be the right understanding, since pomegranates were not a symbol of love, but of more everyday prosperity. But then there is also the spiced wine. And here Luther prefers to let this mean the new wine that is, well, not like Moses and the prophets, according to Matthew 9:17. But it is simply the New Testament. Verses 3 and 4. His left arm is under my head, and his right arm embraces me. Daughters of Jerusalem, swear an oath to me. Do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. As the couple falls into an embrace, we remember that these things happened earlier in chapter 2, verse 6. Now, at that time, I did not think that there was any special significance to his left arm under her head, and I still do not. But Luther had something additional to say. It's never a waste of time to listen to the Reformer. Here he uses yet another amorous image borrowed from the marriage embrace. By this image, he indicates that his kingdom is in God's protection and is ruled and directed by God. We are plainly not to be in doubt concerning God's favor toward us. That's a good sentiment. Here, the oath is the oath about the daughters of Jerusalem. It's shorter, but it's still similar to the other times it has appeared in chapter 2 and chapter 3. It's shorter here. Is it shorter because by now it's so familiar? Or is it shorter because here in the final chapter, the couple is perhaps not yet married, and the songs within the song are not in chronological sequence, and therefore we're not being told with a hint that the man and woman are now in a passionate embrace. Well, perhaps this is so. Certainly those who are not married need this same caution, even more than married couples do, although we have also shown that husbands and wives must be mindful of one another and their desires. But in any case, our spiritual application remains very much the same. It is only by invitation that we enter into fellowship with God. We do not, by our own reason or strength or thinking or choosing, come to faith in Christ. Faith is a gift. Our Lutheran confessions summarize the passages in which Scripture teaches us how faith comes to us. For us to obtain faith, the Augsburg Confession says, God instituted the office of the ministry, that is, provided the gospel and sacraments. Through these, as through means, he gives the Holy Spirit, who works faith when and where he pleases in those who hear the gospel. And the gospel teaches that we have a gracious God, not by our own merits, but by the merits of Christ, when we believe this. That's the Augsburg Confession, it's Article 5. And the confession also adds, in addition, those who teach that the Holy Spirit comes to us through our own preparation, thoughts, and works, without the external work of the gospel, are condemned. Daughters and sons of Jerusalem, the true Jerusalem, which is the Holy Christian Church, treasure your faith and know that your Lord keeps you safe in his embrace. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.